Turning with me to Psalm 55, we're going to read a couple portions here and see what God will do here this morning. Word of the Lord says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." But the 16th verse says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord," somebody say, "the Lord shall save me." "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Amen. And I want to talk to you on this morning on this thought. As for me. Amen. As for me. As for me. As for me. Father, we love you today. We're thankful for all that you do, all that you've done, all that we feel, and all that we know you're going to do today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. This is a psalm of David. The psalm was most likely written during the time of his son Absalom's rebellion or because of the betrayal of one of his closest advisors, Ahithophel. And you can read this if you're taking notes in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 17. And the overall theme of this writing or this psalm, I'm thankful for the expression of psalm. Sister Emily mentioned that this morning about the expression of psalm. It ministers. And this is an example. This Psalm 55 is an example of being ministered to. And the overall theme of this particular psalm is the trusting in the Lord, regardless of the peril, whatever we may be facing. And this psalm has often been referred to, in fact, in the Bible that I'm reading from here now this morning, it's often been referred to as the plea of the fearful. And let's not forget that we do have some real fears, things that that some struggle with more than others. And we know we make fun of those guys that are afraid of their wives, and you know, for them that's a real fear. And but there's the fear of heights, or falling. I don't know if you've ever, anybody here, you know, don't like to go too high up. And there's the fear of sound, and then there's some that are afraid of the boogeyman or the dark, and you know, you hang your shirt up in the hallway, and over time you start to say, "Oh, somebody's there standing at me in the doorway." It's like, "Now you put your shirt up there, crazy," you know. And but as we grow older, we as we mature and have life experiences, and when we don't have that tendency to be fearful of some of those things like we were before, because we've learned to navigate through them and grow and mature. And if you've ever told somebody, "Oh, it's going to be okay," you try to tell them, this is what to expect. You know, you remember, or you even maybe have little infants or toddlers that when it's 4th of July and there's all the loud booming and the fireworks going off, it startles them and they start to cry. In fact, if you ever been around a little toddler, maybe a 1-2-year-old or even an infant, maybe 9-10 months old, and you could raise your voice in a certain way, and And they get, there's this scary, they just get frightened and because of noise and sound. And sometimes when we would hear that loud boom from the from Vandenberg Air Force or Space Station now, some of those things that kind of rattles in the windows, depending on where you are here in Santa Maria. And you kind of like wondering, oh, what was that? What's going on? And then there's times where when even if they tell you, hey, I have an air horn up here, it gets you going, right? It gets you going because of sound. It's sound. I had a blast with that this week. Oh, yeah. My window in the office, Sister Rivas, I could see everybody walking, lunchtime. And so I just opened my door, and I'm in there, woo! People walking by wondering what's going on. Didn't know the crazy preacher was in the office practicing how to use this thing. But it's pretty fun. I ordered another one. It'll be here on Tuesday. I've been having fun, just simple humor. But things in life startle us. They do. They catch us off guard. We make statements like, hope for the best, expect the worst. It is what it is. And I'm not surprised, or I wasn't prepared for this. We weren't prepared for this almost 2 years ago. But we are prepared now. God has prepared us for such a time as this. Amen. And many times we are uncertain or unaware or even believe for the most part, we become complacent. And familiarity can produce complacency. Hear that. But it's the trials, it's the testings, it's the tribulations, it's the experiences that we go through that in life that stretch us and it defines us. In fact, if you look in the scripture where James tells us in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And there are the various levels of stress and grief and acceptance, fear and regrets. And some of us have learned in school the cycles of fear. There are real cycles of fear. And we go through that. There's the sometimes you don't realize, but you have the fight or flight syndrome, and that many times is because of fear. And you get somebody's back against the wall, and they react in a different manner. And sometimes when we are fearful, we will say things that maybe under normal circumstances we wouldn't say, and then that hurts somebody, and then they say something else, and then it hurts us, and then we even have a syndrome that was coined in 1973 called the Stockholm syndrome, and you can, if you've ever studied social science, criminology, sociology, you've learned about that, and even child development about the Stockholm syndrome. And so what this was because of a situation that took place there in Germany, where a kidnapper and the person that was kidnapped, they formed an emotional and psychological bond, where the one that was kidnapped began to see it from the point of view of the kidnapper. And so I'm not going into that. I'm just telling you that there are even things sometimes in our own emotions, in our own mind, that we would attach ourselves to whatever it is that we're going through and dealing, where we begin to accept what's taking place or rationalize or even justify these things. And this is real, and this happens. And just as addictions are real, and anxieties are real, God can deliver you from addictions and anxieties. And just as phobias are real, and just as depression is real, and God can deliver you from phobias and depressions, and just like drama is real. I know there's drama in high school. People sign up to part of the drama club, but they forget that was only for high school, and they carry that in to the rest of their life. Let me just tell you, if you want drama, go sign up for a class, but don't be bringing drama into my life. Come on, somebody. But some people crave drama. There's some folks that they're possessive. That's something that is a part of their makeup. They're possessive. And then there's victimization, where victimology is real, and being a victim is real. That's a real thing. That's not something to joke with. It's a serious thing. And thank the Lord that there's resources for that. But there's some folks that we know. You may know somebody that knows somebody that they have a mentality a victim. Their whole mentality is they're a victim of circumstance, victim of life, and not realizing that they've attached themselves to that mindset. And so we see this as I'm building a foundation. We see this as a culmination in the life of David, who writes Psalm 55. We see that he is looking at the voices. He is hearing the voices. These voices were negative. They were fearful. And it's just like today, we have a lot of negative voices that we would call fear-mongering, and they're real voices. But David tells us that he was going through something because of the voice of the enemy. In Psalm 55 and 3, he says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. It's the voice, it's the sound, it's the noise, it's the range of sounds, and it's sometimes the expression of words, written words, emails, texts, posts, and these are tactics that the enemy will use to taunt you with. And it could even be an article that you read, or somebody sends you something to read. Let me just tell you right now, just because there's folks that have been doing it over and over, I don't read any kind of articles that you send to me via Facebook Messenger. That's a quick way for me to unfriend you, for sure. I don't read any of that garbage. Whether Bishop Moling sends it to me or not, I won't read it. It just won't happen if it comes through that format, because let me just stay on track. But let me remind us that the adversary, your enemy, has a voice. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word of God gives us a heads up about these voices. And the enemy of your soul, the enemy of your walk with God, your adversary, the enemy of your anointing, the adversary of your family, is going to use his voice and roar at times. And his roar will taunt you and it will accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he'll tell you that you're a hypocrite and you don't have what it takes, and you failed, and you're lonely, and you're not good enough, and you're not smart enough, and you've got too much baggage. You need to rebuke him all over again and put him in his place, which is under your feet. And someone needs to put him on mute and keep him on mute and remind yourself what the scripture says in Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Somebody needs to have an as for me attitude and say, I will call upon the Lord, and I will, and he's going to save me. I'm not going to go call on somebody that can't help me, or that will condemn me, or will tell me I told you so, but I'm going to call upon the God of my salvation, and he shall save me. Amen. He'll sustain us. That means he'll take care of you, whatever it is that you're facing. Some people struggle internally with mental torment of the voices of the past. And you sometimes have or will see that they try to hide and try to retreat, and it seems to only make things worse. And if you're going to run away from anything, make sure you're running towards Jesus at least. run away from whatever it is you're running from, but make sure where you're running to is to the arms of Jesus. Come on, somebody. I'm in the Holy Ghost this morning. Some of you have been looking at the things that are taking place in the natural, and Galatians 3 tells us that how can you complete something in the spirit if you're trying to complete it in the natural? And that things that are started in the spirit must be completed in the Spirit. And Romans 12 and 19 gives us an example of people that, you know, a lot of times we look at situations and we want revenge. We want to get even. But the scripture tells us, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so I would encourage you this morning to have an ask for me attitude and say, you know what? They did what they did. They said what they said. It may be true. It may be false. But you know what? I'm going to close my ears to the voices of this world, and I'm going to open my ears and heed to the word of God, and I'm going to cast my burden upon the Lord, because he's going to sustain me, and he'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Come on, somebody. You've come in here overwhelmed. You've come in here with agony. Sickness is closed in on you, and we see our freedom is being strained and threatened here in the USA. But can I tell you, if we're going to do anything, ask for me. What are you going to do, Pastor? Ask for me. I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm going to call on Jesus, and he's going to hear me. He's going to hear my cry. He's going to hear my prayer, and he will sustain his people. We see a tremendous example of an ask for me attitude in the life of Job. Tremendous. Job didn't do anything wrong.
Nope.
He was righteous.
Yep.
Job had more trouble in one day than all of us will face in a lifetime. But Job had an as for me attitude. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. My spiritual integrity is more valuable than popular opinion.
Amen.
Mm. Come on, somebody. Who you used to be is who you used to be. You are not that anymore. That was the old you. That's what God has brought you from. You've been forgiven. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. And if you haven't, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Your sins will be washed away forever. That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Somebody shout, ask for me. Where the Lord is not limited by what limits us.
Right.
He is not afraid of what causes us concern. We see this in the scripture, the encouragement from the Lord. And Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Every tongue, every statement, every voice, every word, the Lord, if it's rising up against the judgment, the Lord will condemn it. And this is why some of you that haven't been baptized in Jesus, I'm coming for you. This is why you need to get baptized in Jesus' name, so you can be part of the family, so you can be covered. Look, notice this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So I say, let the naysayers ridicule. I say, let the despisers of evil despise. Let the gossipers gossip. Let the fearmongers talk. Let the economists forecast. But as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and God shall save me. Mm. That's the God we serve today.
Amen.
His ears, somebody say his ears. They're not closed to your prayers. His ear is not deaf that he can't hear your prayers. In fact, it's quite the opposite. 1 Peter 3 and 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God, notice this, how awesome God is. He'll carry you and your burden. Right?
Yep.
He'll carry you and your burden. He's so awesome.
Yes, he is.
But here's the deal. David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. When you go fishing, you cast out into the water. You hurl something. That's what casting is. You throw a rock and you're casting it. That's what David is saying, is he's casting it. There's some things that some of you are carrying that you just wanna lay it down at the right place at the right time. No, just give it, cast it to the Lord. Drop it, boom, drop it like it's hot. Just drop it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Cast that burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Yeah. David said, as for me, everything that's going on, I will call upon God and he's going to save me. He even in another scripture setting, he tells us that the voice here it is. Isaiah, Psalm 59:6. They return evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth swords. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who saith doth hear? He's breaking it down, Sister Brittany, and he's telling us, I got so much going on that there's enough for people to go around barking like dogs about me. But he says, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me.
Amen.
Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, Jesus, the Lord says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knewest not. The burdens of life, the tribulations of life, you've carried them long enough. It's time to lay them down, to cast your burden upon the Lord and let him sustain you. David goes on to tell us that it wasn't just the voice that he was facing and dealing with, but it was the oppression of the wicked. When something is oppressed, there's a constraint. It's the mental or physical trouble with adverse conditions that bring forth anxieties. And notice the descriptive words that David tells us in Psalm 55:21 about the oppression. He says, the words of their mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in their heart. Their words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Yeah. I know you don't know anybody like that. But the Bible tells us all about the roaring lion.
Yeah.
But it also tells us about another lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. As for me, I choose to hear and heed to the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's my lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's the bread of life. He's the water when I'm thirsty. He's the rose of Sharon. Come on, somebody. The God I serve is alive and well. And as for me, I won't hear or heed to the voices of this world. But as for me, I will call upon the name of the Lord and he shall hear me. He will sustain me. David goes on to tell us in another part, Psalm 69:3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Let me take a drink. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait on the Lord. Real talk. Somebody say, real talk. But David in another place, he had an ask for me mindset. He says in Psalm 59:16, I will sing of thy power. Yes, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Rise up this morning, Revival Tabernacle, in person and online, and have an ask for me attitude, and say, you know what, ask for me, I will call upon God. I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me.
Amen.
He'll save you. He'll deliver you.
Amen.
So, folks want to hide and play hide and seek? Let them play hide and seek on their own, by themselves. If they want to whine, let them whine. Buy them some cheese. If they want to quit, let them quit. If they want to gossip, tell them go to church somewhere else.
Yep.
They want to stay depressed. They want to judge. They want to condemn. They want to ridicule. That's on them.
Yep.
That's right.
But as for me,
yeah.
I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord shall hear me. The Lord will save me. The Lord will sustain me. Right now, why don't we do that? Why don't we lift our hands and why don't we call upon the Lord? Come on with a loud voice. Come on with a loud voice. Hallelujah! With a loud voice, I call on you, O God. David tells us in Psalm 41 and 12, and as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Forever. You know what God knows about you is more important than what people think about you? It's for that, right? It's truth. Musicians will begin to make their way. You can either wear the spirit of heaviness, or you can put on the garment of praise. Scripture tells us in Psalm 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. All the beautiful people say amen, right?
Amen.
There's more beautiful people in here than that. All the beautiful people say amen.
Amen.
The oil of joy for mourning. So unless you're sick and not feeling good, got the cooties, stay home. And if you don't got the cooties and not feeling sick, then be at church.
Amen.
That's for me.
Right.
I'm going to church.
Amen.
Psalm 5 and 7 tells us, I will come into the, but as for me, somebody say, as for me. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in the fear will I worship toward the holy temple. Psalm 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As we stand this morning, the scripture tells us in Psalm 69 and 30, I will praise the name of God with the song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Why don't we do that right now? Just lift our hands unto the Lord with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Come on, I can't thank him for you. With thanksgiving. Come on, with thanksgiving. Come on, with thanksgiving. Come on, praise team, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, saints, elders, moms, leadership, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It was Joshua that declared, and I close with this. Joshua declared to a whole nation, you do what you want to do. You want to follow after the trends of this world? You want to do what's popular, what feels good? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. All my life, Sister Rivas, the Lord has been faithful. My entire life, when I wasn't faithful, He's faithful. He met us here. He's met us online. He's met us in small groups. He's met us outside. That's a faithful God, sis. That's a faithful God.